big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our proactive member and get access to expert strategy guides on personal and professional development, bonus episodes, and other exclusive contents. Visit activeaction.fm for more information. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
In the Active Action Podcast, it's me, your host, Dr. Nazif. I'm back again. Today we have with us Aparita Kuttappan, and we'll be talking about another exciting subject on personal development and wellness. Just before going into that, I wanted to let you guys know our heartfelt appreciation for listening to our podcast on a regular basis and providing your valuable feedback. We did start our proactive membership. So if you are looking into personal and professional development opportunities, you can do that by visiting our website activeaction.fm/proactive. So we have a personal development course, but also proactive strategy guide on professional growth and wellness. So feel free to check those out. Apart from that, welcome, Aparita. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me as a guest on your podcast.
So dear listeners, Aparita is the founder and coach of Avarify Coaching LLC. She's based in Georgia, Atlanta. So the topic for today's podcast is how to be the CEO of your own personal development and wellness. So Aparita, do you want to let our audience know a little bit about yourself, apart from what I said?
Sure, absolutely. So like Nazif said, I am Aparita Kuttappan, and I am the coach and founder of Awareify Coaching. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I have two small children. I have a son who's 8 and a daughter who's 4. And I'm married to my best friend. I haven't been a coach my whole career. I started my career in accounting, actually. And then I've transitioned and I've made many different moves along the way. I went back and got my MBA. And then I finally decided I wanted to pursue this full time. So I got my coaching certification. And here I am now. Primarily, I work with working women, executive women, professional women, and working parents on anything surrounding energy, burnout, confidence, mindset. All of those themes are sort of what run through all of my conversations and coaching sessions. Yeah, it's so funny because I tell this story often. When I was in my previous roles, in my previous careers in human resources and accounting, I always entered those roles with like a really big vision of I'm going to be, you know, the first female partner here. I'm going to be the chief human resources officer. But there's always a voice in my head that said, that's a great goal, Aparita, but there is so much more out there for you, more value for you to add. And I heard the voice, but I didn't truly listen to it. until I really took that deep dive into coaching and decided to pursue this. And now I can tell you that that voice is no longer there. So it's very fulfilling. I feel like it's very value add. I feel like it's very necessary and needed. And I'm just so proud of all my coaching clients and all the work that they do and the results that they get from really focusing on themselves and when they are the CEO of their own development and well-being.
I really like how you ended that sentence, the CEO of your own personal development and well-being. That's a new term to me. So can I ask you, what does it actually mean to be the CEO of your own personal development and wellness? And why does this mindset matter now more than ever?
Yeah. So being a CEO, when I think of a CEO, I think of a leader who genuinely cares about their organization and cares about the performance of the organization, cares about the well-being of the organization, the development of the organization, and has a vision for the organization, right? And so that's the kind of CEO you want. That's the kind of CEO I'd want to be working for anyways. So when you translate that over to being the CEO of your life, of your development, of your well-being, that means you're the leader, that you are your own leader, essentially. So it's really about leading yourself with intention and clarity and ownership. And, you know, instead of reacting to everything that's happening to you, to life's demands, you run your life like it's an organization. You have a vision, you have a strategy, you have goals, you have values. You really think very intentionally about these things so that you have a lot of clarity around what it is that you want and how you're going to get there. And I'm not saying that this is short term. Like any good CEO, you have a short term strategy and you have a long term strategy and vision, right? But you think about these things and you stop outsourcing your well-being, your purpose, your identity, what it is that you really want for yourself. All of that to me is an inside out kind of a game.
Wonderful, Parita. I really appreciate when you say that we need to have a vision. A long-term vision is very good, but also some short-term visions on how to see we can improve our inner well-being. And I feel oftentimes lack of having that vision is what actually doesn't give us a drive to go towards our purpose. Can I ask you again, how can someone assess where they currently are in their CEO journey when it comes to their well-being, energy, and growth?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways you can do this, but I like to think of it really simply, because if you make something really complicated, we're less likely to do it, right? And so I like to keep it really simple. So I think of four core departments, if you will, right? So an organization has different departments that the CEO leads. So we as individuals lead four core departments within ourselves: mind, body, heart, and spirit. So your mind is your thoughts, your beliefs, your mindsets, your internal narratives that you are constantly playing in your mind, right? Your body is your physical health. It's your energy, your strength. It's also how much you rest and give your body some rest, right? To be able to grow and get stronger. Heart is really about emotions, relationships, and especially emotional regulation. So how you respond emotionally to the things that happen to you. And then spirit, to me, is about purpose, identity, values, and really meaning. So what is bringing you meaning in your life? And the cool thing is that when you really investigate and go deeper and ask yourself, you know, what are the top three thoughts I have every single day? And are they serving me? What do I do to really strengthen my body every day? What does my physical activity look like? How do I feel energetically? Asking yourself these big questions and really taking the time to assess, what you'll realize is when you strengthen one department, the others are all going to naturally benefit. That's just sort of the offshoot of what happens. But it's really about looking at these, to me, these four core departments, or however you want to structure that, and really asking yourself, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would I give myself? And then thinking about what are the small, again, you want to make it really easy for yourself. What are the small changes I can make that are really going to help shift that score a little bit and going to strengthen that department a bit so that it can then strengthen the other areas as well?
I really like how you make the connection between the four core departments. You talk about like treating your life as a business, how people should be managing that. I wanted to ask you, whenever people try to balance between these like core departments, what are some of the common challenges do you think they come up with that actually hinders their progress or achieving success?
Yeah, I think one thing is that you have to be really honest with yourself when you're doing your own assessment. And this is why working with a coach can be great, because they can call you out a little bit on your BS, you know, and say, well, then, okay, tell me about this, tell me about this, tell me about this. And they can take you through this exercise a little bit deeper. But really, I think it's about people aren't always as honest with themselves as they should be. I think people use a lot of excuses for why they don't, one, sit down and actually do this sort of assessment or exercise, and then two, actually take the action. Time is another one, but I don't have time. So to me, if you're not going to take, gosh, even 10 or 15 minutes a day to work on yourself as the CEO of your own development and well-being in your own life, then we've got bigger fish to fry. You know what I mean? It's sort of that sort of thing where it's like, just if you take the time proactively in advance of anything negative happening and you really sort of think through these things, that you'll be way more agile and able to adjust when life throws those curveballs, because we know that it always does, right? And so, yeah, I think time is a big one for people. And I think just not being honest with yourself and just making excuses, blaming other people. Oh, like when my kids grow up, that's when I'll focus on myself. And I always, the thing I say to those people is, oh, do you have a crystal ball that I don't have access to? Because who's to say that, you know, 10 years from now, it's going to be a better time for you to work on yourself. We don't know what challenges will come up then. So I think, you know, it's a lot of people just not being honest and making time for this, to be honest.
You mentioned you do work with women and working parents as well. So from your experience, what are some of the biggest obstacles working women and working parents face when they're trying to lead themselves well?
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, a whole host of things, but some of the big hitters are that chronic overwhelm of like never feeling like you're getting out from under everything you have to do. Burnout. Just feeling like you don't have anything to give anymore, and you're just really tired, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally tired. And then that's the idea of the mental load of, even if you have an assistant, or even if you have a partner who's sharing the load with you at home, or older kids that you can delegate to, or maybe you have help that comes in, you're still responsible for coordinating all of that, for making sure it gets done, for making sure people understand what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. So that mental load is just huge for so many women and parents. And then just emotional labor, I think, you know, I think especially for working moms and just mothers in general, you're not only managing your own emotions, but you're generally taking on the emotions of your household. So your kids' emotions, your partner's emotions, it all sort of, again, it's just overwhelming because it's hard to get out of that, out from under that. And I think something else is that self-care is selfish or a luxury. Only privileged people can afford self-care. And when I say self-care, when I talk about it, I'm not talking about going and getting manicures and pedicures or scheduling that massage or taking a bubble bath. That's nice. You know, that's great. That is self-care. That is taking care of yourself. But I'm talking about taking micro breaks for 2 to 3 minutes, 3 times a day, just to check in with yourself and say, going back to that the departments of like, how are you doing mentally? How are you doing emotionally? How's your heart? How's your spirit? How, you know, and really kind of checking in with yourself. Or, you know, instead of making dinner one day, you say, okay, you know what? We're going to go get some fast food or go out to eat. And I'm going to use the time where I would have been cooking to just read a book, do something for myself. Right. And so kind of changing that narrative from self-care is a luxury only a few can afford to I deserve to take care of myself as well. A lot of people also think that in order to make progress in their life, they have to take big, huge leaps or take giant steps. And I am not a believer in that. I think that taking really small, tiny, consistent, sustainable actions every single day are the strategy. That is the strategy. That is what we should be doing day in and day out to get to progress, to get to where we want to be. Taking big leaps works for some people, but I think we always realize when you actually talk to the person who you thought took a big leap in an area of their life, that it was actually just small, tiny steps they took quietly every single day that eventually when they shared openly with other people, it looked like one big leap. So I think we discount the small steps, the baby steps that we should be taking, and you know, we just think, oh, we should be doing big leaps or we should be making bigger strides in whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish, which can really hold us back from actually getting anything done.
That's so wonderful, Parita, and I really love your perspective. Two things I want to mention over here. The first thing is the concept of self-care, how you portrayed that, is that by literal meaning self-care, I don't even think like people understand what it actually means to have like self-care. In literal meaning, to have like subjective cares, like taking care of yourself, meaning that you need to go to some place or chase services that actually provides you external benefit. Self-care has a very deep internal meaning, and that is to take care of your mental health first, because if your mental health is a mess up, then it definitely impacts your life, and specifically for women who are working, or even women who are married or in a like relationship, have effect. It has effect on your kids, on your partners, and everyone. So it's very important to understand what is self-care in times of mental health aspects. And I think that is a wonderful way where life coaches can come into practice, and they can help you and support you with your well-being. But the other thing that you mentioned, again, taking small, consistent steps, I feel one of the biggest hurdles people face is they think too much. They want to achieve too much in a very short period of time. And it is very important to be realistic, like what I am trying to achieve. So if I'm thinking, okay, so I'm suddenly motivated to do one thing and I have to get this in the next couple of days, maybe say 2 or 3 days. And if you don't get that, we get discouraged. So I think this is one of the biggest hurdles, like getting discouraged when we are trying to achieve something. That is, small consistent steps can come in.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll divide my interest, or I'll divide my intention into small chunks, and let's see if I take like one baby step at a time. And that combinedly actually is a very big effect, which you will see in the upcoming days. So two very important concepts you mentioned.
Absolutely.
I could relate. So thank you much for explaining those. So what do you think is the first small but very meaningful step someone can take in this era to reclaim ownership over their energy, boundaries, and personal growth?
Yeah, so I think we have to think about this very simply. So, you know, Awareify is not a real word, my coaching business. It's kind of like Spotify, if you will. But to me, what it means is that...
That's clever.
Yes, yes. It's about awareness, right? And I think we have to start with the awareness of what is my energy telling me today? What is it saying to me today? How do I feel? And how much energy do I have to give? Am I feeling opportunistic? Am I feeling emotional? Am I feeling upset? Am I feeling excited? You know, what is your energy telling you? And then I think we have to think about how we can set boundaries, little boundaries in our life, to really set us up to use the energy that we have in a really productive manner, in a way that's going to serve us and those around us, right? So that's kind of like creating, instead of responding to an email, right?
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Away. That's maybe a little more emotionally charged, taking 5 minutes, walking away from your laptop and just walking around or getting a glass of water, and just taking a 5 minute break before sitting back down to respond to that email. Or, you know, saying no to the extra task that gets thrown your way, or that somebody asks you to go somewhere. If you really don't have the energy for it, or you don't have the capacity or space for the thing that's being asked of you, no is actually a full sentence. No. Period is a full sentence. I think something a lot of women do is they tend to feel guilty for saying no. I hear that a lot. And they also feel the need to over-explain their no. So no, I can't because XYZ, XYZ, XYZ. Whereas they could just say, oh, I'm so sorry, that's not going to work for me today. Potentially, I could have time next week. Why don't you reach back out? Very different approach. One really sounds like a CEO, whereas one sounds like somebody who's just, you know, anxious and is having a hard time saying no. And then I think, you know, the other thing is when you are looking at your calendar, your rhythm, you know, during the week, really kind of thinking about it like a CEO and thinking, okay, do I have energy in the morning? Is that where I have a lot of my energy, my positive energy that gets me through tasks and the things I need to get done? Or am I really a night owl? I think one issue that I see come up is that there are so many experts and gurus out there that are selling their books and their methods and, you know, do it this way and do it that way. We forget that we actually are our own expert. We are our own gurus. We know what we need inherently. We just don't take the time. We don't start with that awareness. We don't question how we feel, what our energy's like. We just kind of look for those answers outside of ourselves when in fact we really have them inside of ourselves. So I think that's a little bit of that whole self-trust piece that comes up. But yeah, that's
depression or where my stress is coming from. It's just they don't know how to manage that properly or what are the actual steps you can take so that you can manage your stress in a manageable way that actually helps you thrive at some point. Because to be honest, in our world or in our era of work, stress doesn't go away. It's something that it will keep coming back. So it's very important to learn on how to like manage those. You know, as a life coach, how do you help your clients shift from reacting living to proactive intentional decision making?
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, it's very much what we were talking about earlier. I think there is this notion of boundaries that's absolutely essential. And I think, you know, a lot of people think boundaries are not a request. It's not, will you please stop, or can I XYZ, or should we XYZ? It's actually, boundaries are what teach people how to treat you. And your boundary is not dependent on how the other person responds. So you're not looking for a specific answer from them. You are just stating what works for you or what you need. And then the other person has the right to respond in whatever way they choose to respond. You cannot control that, right? And so that's one important piece, is really having some boundaries in your life. And boundaries are not walls. They're more like doors. They kind of bridge that gap. The people can walk in and out, but it's not a wall. You're not putting up walls around yourself and say, oh, you get no access to me. It's just saying, in order to open this door, this is what I'm telling you needs to happen. And you can walk through that door once you're ready to accept that, right? I think that's one piece of it. And then I think another piece is really thinking about, and this is a really simple concept, but I always tell my coaches, I'm like, there's a small circle. You have to imagine this with me. There's a small circle. Then there's a slightly bigger circle around that small circle. And then there's a huge circle around that second circle, right? So the small circle is you. That's where you sit. The slightly bigger circle is where your influence sits, potential influence. And then the big, vast space beyond that is where you don't have control and you don't have influence. Guess where most people spend their time? Yeah, where they have zero control, where they have zero influence. What is that person thinking? What are they doing? Why are they doing that way? Why didn't this happen for me? Instead of thinking about, well, even though it's a small space, it's only small because it's all about you. What can I do to change what's happening in my life? If I want something, what can I do? What are the choices I can make? What are the thoughts I can have that will lead me to better action, to better feelings, that will get me what I want, versus even trying to, you know, of course, and through those thoughts, feelings, and actions that you take, and those beliefs that you hold about yourself, you can potentially influence others. That's how you move to that second circle. And note I said potentially. We're not always going to be able to influence others. That's up to them whether they choose to be influenced or not, right? And if it makes sense. But a lot of people spend most of their time in the circle where they don't have influence and they don't have control. And then they're upset and then they're reactive. And then, you know, my gosh, like the world is falling apart. But it's like, are you spending time where you actually have control, which is with yourself?
Mm-hmm. If the people that are close to me, or if I keep trust on my people, and then in return, I get of like a negative feeling or negative feedback, or that influence is coming back to me, not in a positive way, but still those people who are close, that's a more small circle before we go, and a bigger circle where we don't have any control of. But how can we tackle that critical situation?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So let me make sure I'm understanding. You're saying you are trying to influence people that you're close to, but it sort of backfires on you in not a positive way. Right. So again, I think it goes back to your thoughts around what is happening and saying, okay, one example could be, that didn't go the way that I wanted. I tried to influence them, and be really honest, right? Name what's happening. I had really good intentions and I was really trying to influence them, but maybe they weren't ready for that. Maybe I could try again. Maybe I can have a conversation and explain what I was trying to do and learn a little bit more about why it wasn't received the way I thought it would be. And maybe it's just, you know what? This is none of my business. You know, I'm trying to influence a situation that really has nothing to do with me. Maybe it's best if I just step away and focus on myself. So it's really about examining what and who you're trying to influence, why you're trying to do that, what your real motivation is there, And just having the honest conversation with yourself and or that individual that you're trying to influence.
That's very helpful. Thank you so much, Brenda, for explaining that. Can you share an example from your personal life of a time when you had to step into your own CEO role, especially during a challenging season?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Let me think. So for me, I really had to step into a CEO role for myself when I became a mom. So before I had my son, you know, it was me and my husband. And before that, it was just me. And it's really, I find it's a little bit easier to be a CEO when you don't have another human being relying on you. At least it was for me. So, you know, I could make choices. I could focus on my well-being. I really had the time and the energy. And especially I was in my 20s and 30s. So I was able to do that. Now, once I had my son, the world changed. And I had this small baby that was relying on me for food, for nurturing, for caring. And so that's when I really had to step up my game and how I take care of myself. What I find is when these big changes happen for people, they often don't think about themselves. They don't prioritize their own needs. But I believe that when other people are relying on you for their own well-being and development for a short period of time, that's even more reason for you to focus on yourself in small ways every day. Because you have to make sure that you are in a healthy state of mind and a healthy state of heart, spirit, body, in order to help somebody else. You know, we can only help others as much as we help ourselves, I believe. And so I think that was a big moment for me to really sort of, I could have gone in one of two directions. One, I could have completely deprioritized myself and not thought about myself in any way. Or I could say, okay, I have the small person that I am now modeling for them how to live life. They are now relying on me for so many things. I have to make sure that I'm as healthy as I can be in all ways. And so that was sort of a way where, you know, my whole energy around this whole concept of how I lead my life and how I'm my own CEO really changed.
How do you think can someone create a realistic developmental plan for themselves without feeling overwhelming or not having stress of doing that?
Yeah. First, I think we have to take any short term, especially if you're starting out with this sort of focus. I think taking away any sort of short-term expectations, right? Change takes time and it takes consistent effort. And in this game of life, right, other things come up. You're not living in a bubble. It's not all about you, right? You have people relying on you, whether it's a team at work or your partner, or your children or aging parents or whatever it is, right? So understanding there will be setbacks and kind of getting your mindset right about that at the start. And then sort of, I would say one thing I suggest to a lot of my clients is to focus on one area each month or quarter, whatever feels more doable and more realistic, right? So whether that is mindset, energy, confidence, boundaries, joy, whatever it is that you want to work on and really kind of solidify for yourself, picking one area a month or one area a quarter. And then you have to really define what success looks like for you. So I always say there are so many terms out there where we automatically take on somebody else's definition and we don't take the time to define the term for ourselves. And I think success, happiness, these are things that we really have to look internally and define for ourselves. Because the way I define success is going to be very different than the way you define success, correct? So we really have to think about what it really looks like for us and not necessarily in outcomes, but in action. What is success? Like if I'm successful, what am I doing? So what are the actions I'm taking? How am I feeling? I think we often discount the notion that our feelings are some of the greatest like predictors of how successful or how happy we are. So really taking a look at how you feel and how you want to feel at the end of the month or the quarter, right? And then kind of building systems. So we're not looking for perfection. I always say we're all operating in our own ecosystem, right? And our ecosystems overlap with those ecosystems of those around us. So really thinking about the systems you want to build within your own system. So routines, rituals, reflections that you want to have, right? So to ensure that you're not only making progress, but that you're achieving what it is you want to achieve in a way that you want to achieve it, and that you're feeling the things that you set out to feel, and that you're pivoting when you need to pivot because life is happening.
Having that awareness.
Yeah.
I appreciate that perspective. For someone who is listening today to this episode, and they have a feeling of being burned out, stuck, or stretched thin, what's the one piece of encouragement or next step you want them to hear that can motivate them a little better?
Yeah, so a few things. So one is that I don't think, myself included, so I'm not perfect at any of this, I'm a work in progress, as I like to say, is that we don't often pause when life feels overwhelming or we feel stuck or we feel burnt out. We don't pause. We're automatically just like, either we are checking into this guy, you know, we're like, oh, okay, let me just scroll on my phone, or we're just moving on to the next thing. We're not assessing what's really happening. So asking yourself the question of like, what do I need right now? If you're feeling burnt out or overwhelmed, what do I need right now? Do I need to take an action? Do I need to take rest? Do I need to go for a walk? Do I need to talk to my partner? What do I need right now? And then I think we also often dismiss the power of one. So one small thing that will make a big shift. And these are tiny things, right? So maybe it's that you need to go to bed a little bit earlier today. Maybe you need to drink a little bit more water. Maybe you need to take a few minutes to just reflect and journal. Maybe you need to move your body a little bit, right? And stretch or go for a walk or do some yoga, whatever it is. And I think it's also about the boundaries that we have as well. So making small, tiny shifts, we often discount that power of like the 1% shift. So changing something 1%, right? And then again, I think the other piece that I talk a lot of with my clients about is having some self-compassion. So we often put the pressure on ourselves to achieve, to be successful in a traditional way, to people please, to do things a certain way. Nobody is really telling us that most of the time. It's a lot of pressure we put on ourselves. So I talk a lot about self-compassion. So to me, compassion is empathy plus action. So it's also about how we talk to ourselves, right? So really kind of taking stock of what is the language you use when you're talking to yourself, because we spend more time with ourselves than we do with anybody else, right? Especially in our own minds. So what is the language that you're using? What is it that you're saying to yourself? And is it serving you? So these are a few things that I think can help if you're burnt out or stuck.
Thank you so much again for sharing your words of wisdom with me and my listeners this evening.
Yes.
In this episode of the podcast, for my listeners, how they can contact you or take service from you from Arify LLC,
yeah,
if they want to connect with you.
Absolutely. So they can visit my website, which is awarifycoaching.com, where they'll find information about me. There's links to contact me if they want to have a discovery call, information about my offerings. I'm also on Instagram. My Instagram handle is a little bit different. It's My Inner Shakti, Shakti. And I also have a Substack that I write, which is a lot. It's a Substack about personal development, energy, motherhood, parenting, self-compassion, all of these things that we've talked about today. And that's also My Inner Shakti, if you're on Substack or want to read that. And I'm on LinkedIn with my name. And yeah, you can find me on any of those channels.
That's very helpful to know. And dear listeners, if you go to our website, activeaction.fm, and search Parita's name, that is Parita, you'll find a webpage that would have her bio and all the social links, so that it will be easier for you to connect with her.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me again. Appreciate it. Absolutely. Thank you.
So dear listeners, thank you again for listening to this episode. If you feel this episode and the conversation that I had with Parita on personal development had some value for you, please feel free to share it with someone who might find it valuable too. Apart from that, stay active and take action. I'll talk to you in another episode. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Visit our website, activeaction.fm, to enjoy all episodes and other exclusive contents on self-development. Take care, stay active, and take action.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at cinfin.com.